You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Keeping the monkeys in the cage. Speaking of monkeys, the head monkey joins us right now, Michael Musselman.
Oh, thanks for that. I like that. That's
you like
it? Yeah. Thanks, Mac. That makes me feel great.
You've been called worse than a monkey, yes?
Yeah, actually. Oh, yeah, definitely, man.
Thank you. Eric Smith said to say hi.
Yeah, he's a great man.
Yeah, he's a great American. So I got a chance to talk to him and hang out for a little bit yesterday at the dedication of the 5th Marines Vietnam War Memorial. Over 100 Gold Star fans.
We all showed. Over, was it the who's who in the
no,
zoo that
no,
showed up?
No, it was nobody from the zoo showed up. He was the only one.
Jason didn't show up?
No, he's the only one.
Roger Turner didn't show up?
No.
Stu Navarre showed up?
No.
What? Jerry Durant?
No.
Pat Malay?
Did not see him. Willie Buell showed up.
Well, there you go. Okay.
The former battalion commander of 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and the CO of 5th Marine Regiment, yes? Buell?
Yeah. Willie didn't have 3-5.
I thought he had 3-5. I'm thinking of Malay.
It's Malay. Malay had 3-5.
During Fallujah, right?
Yeah.
The I just had Tim Lynch and Duffy White on talking about the changes to the squad, the additional weight, everybody with an automatic weapon, the Carl Gustav, the fire support tablet,
right.
Blah 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 blah. Now they
right.
All
boring stuff. Yeah, I know everybody's bored right now.
They all got out before you did. I'm curious about your thoughts about it. A lot of gear.
It's always been about gear, though, hasn't it? Not. I mean, we kid ourselves when we say, you know, we're going to make the squad lighter. We're going to do this. The problem with making a squad lighter is we have to make it 2 times heavier first, and then we try and then we raise the bar of really what the relative of lightness means. Okay. So then we're like, oh, it's much lighter. What? Well, then, you know, what we wanted it to be, you know, that's the problem with a lot of that stuff. It's like, oh, it's lighter? Yeah. You know, again, then what? Well, you should have seen what we wanted to be, so it is lighter.
So it cracks me up, man. But if you look at the gear, you would think that it would, that the squad's going to operate independently, yes? I mean, if you look at all the different gear and the way they communicate and what they have, 13 automatic weapons, Carl Gustav, fire support tablet, prick what? What version of the prick? Prick 1 something.
115?
Yeah, I think that's it. I got to check it out here in a second. But, yeah. I mean, that's like, so when you look at it, it's like, these guys are going to operate independently, yes? And
yes, yep, that's what we're gonna say.
Yeah, and then everybody who's been a platoon sergeant says no, no,
right.
they're not okay, because you know the whole time you're conducting operations, you're constantly moving as a platoon commander and a platoon sergeant to keep everybody pointed in the right direction, and now some communications might fix that. But I don't know.
Well,
so.
Communications has always been my biggest fight as an infantry guy, and people were really kind of surprised by that. Like, well, an infantry guy, you're concerned more about the communications aspect of the squad? And I said, yeah, because you guys don't understand. I mean, as we push more towards the future and we start doing into this, you know, futuristic type warfare and it starts changing, it's going to be key on communication. We got to be able to talk, call for support, resources, things like that. you know, and I think whoever has the best communications, is going to win. Bottom down, bottom line, you know, and then you have everybody needs to be able to talk and understand. So long are the days of, you know, the platoon commander talking to just the squad leaders and passing the order. You know, it's everybody. Everybody needs to know what their job is.
And everybody's got to be able to listen and to talk.
And everybody's got to be able to do, yeah. And everybody's got to be able to do everybody else's job.
Wow. Well, and, okay, and so here's another question that came out of it. And you're going to do it with less experienced Marines.
Yeah, a lot less experienced Marines. Yeah, I mean, we're not making it easier for you.
Okay, so, Mike, let me ask you, so, and Duffy made this comment, kind of interesting. You know, out in Hawaii, they have their, they have to have their own schools, right? Because of the cost
right.
of sending guys to school and whatnot.
Not the cost, it's time.
Okay, but, alright.
I would disagree. It's not about cost. If money was irrelevant, they still wouldn't send them. Because for the simple fact that, I mean, you look at, if you lose a day just from travel, one day, then you lose another day coming home. And then so when you're looking at, what's the word I'm looking for, deployability and everything else, so guys are on this cycle of, they're always constantly deploying, boom, 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 boom. One of the nice things about Hawaii is you look at the kid and go, hey, we're going to send you to squadron school. However, you can do it right here at home. So every night you're going to be home with your mom. You know, so it's kind of a break. Schools sometimes are a break, and they're nice to have a break. But in Hawaii, you're going to the mainland. Well, it's not a break.
Yeah, it's a deployment.
You know?
So let me ask,
yeah.
So would you say that more regiments are going to have to establish more short-duration schools, courses, that they can send guys to in order to train them? How does
yeah,
that,
and I...
Because that's
I
kind of the model of Hawaii.
Right. What I think needs to happen is a simple re-look of our schools. And the problem is we're trying to eat an elephant at one bite with our schools. And I think what we need to do really is kind of piecemeal that up and do it over a much longer period. So we're not losing guys for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You know, we're losing them for 2 weeks. They come back, they do their thing, and then they go to the next, you know.
Phase.
Next thing, next phase of it. And they only go if they're good enough.
Right.
If they've shown that the things that we've taught them, they've retained them, and they can actually implement them into whatever common practices. And then for that reward, they go to the next phase. I mean, too many times we dump a lot into, you know, 8 weeks of school or, you know, 13 weeks of school. And then we come back and they're total bonehead. They can't do any of that stuff. So then, you know, where do they go now? Well, he's a school-trained Marine, but we sent him to the S4 shop. Well, he'll make money then, you know. And then that's how those guys, you know, get into our mix, into our ranks, because they're kind of discarded at one point, and now they're back, and next you know, he's a company gunny, and, you know, I'm like, oh, God. So I think they need to relook at schools.
Yeah.
He's killing them up.
See, to me,
top them up.
Yeah, I agree with you. That makes a lot of sense to me. Phase one, so squad leader courses, phase one and two you do at the regiment. Phase three you come to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that. That makes, it
oh, sounds, yeah. No, sounds, yeah, absolutely. Dude, bring regimental schools back again. We used to have those.
Right.
And it was big, and I get it. You know, people are like, well, that's a big tax for the battalions because they're putting up the manpower. But it was... The juice was worth the squeeze. It really was, man. I mean, they really benefited from having regimental schools. Now, regiment is just NTU and the market training.
Yeah, you know, you could probably speak this better than I can, but do those guys, we only need those guys. We have the POI. They come and instruct, but when they're not instructing, they're back in their companies doing their thing. they do get yanked out to instruct, but I wonder if there's a way to make it user friendly.
No.
Or do they always have to be part of?
Yeah, they're all part of the schools, but we keep them there until their deployment.
All right.
So they're only there for, you know, if it's a perfect world, they're only there for 18 months. Right?
Yep.
Because that's the cycle. And then by the time they get ready to deploy again, there's not a lot of time, especially if you've got a sergeant or staff sergeant at regimental schools teaching this stuff over and over. Usually he's your better guy.
Right.
You don't have to spend a lot more time getting him up to speed before the deployment. You know? And, you know, it means something. You reward these guys with better promotions, better opportunities, better, you know, you give them the at the end of whatever we ask them to do.
Right. So there's a lot. So the movement to the deployment squad, there's a lot of them, and these are Marines, and you somehow got to address that and give them the capabilities and the skills and the exposure to more senior guys that have done this, that are good teachers, and explain them so they can get them up to snuff, or at least reasonably up to snuff in a hurry, and then you got to rely on their professionalism after that to stay with it, to continue to study, and then if you do that, you have a good thing. Okay. Makes sense. How was your weekend? What'd you do? Do anything fun?
No. It was, you know, Memorial Day weekend in the town brings in all of the tourists.
Right. You live in a tourist destination, right? There's a lake there?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, an old square and a lot of shopping, a lot of good food.
Ooh.
We get a lot of tourists on the weekends.
So
they try and stay away from that.
Yeah, so that's not normally fun if you live there normally and then all of a sudden the tourists invade. Every place you go is full of people. Every restaurant you try to get into that you go on a regular basis, you can't get into. So you just stay home for the weekend or what?
Yeah, just kind of relaxed. Watched some sports stuff, hoping that NBA is over with soon.
Finals.
So life can go back to normal.
Finals are just getting going. Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I know. You know what? Basketball
is not a sport. Why is it?
It's a program.
It's a program. The NHL playoffs started last night, Las Vegas and Washington Capitals got after it last night. So that was
right.
I went up to Fresno to watch my nephew, Joe, play shortstop for the Sacramento City College Panthers. Went up to Fresno and watched him. They did the Final Four to the state championship over the weekend. So we went up on Saturday.
Right.
My sister was there. My cousins were there. It was awesome. My Aunt Millie, who's 80-something years old, she's there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was about 76 degrees and absolutely gorgeous in Fresno on Memorial Day weekend. Mike, what are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? Like zero. Fresno's hot as balls.
Yeah,
man.
Zero.
Zero. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
Zero.
It was beautiful. So had a chance. And then the games we came home Saturday night, and then he played Sunday and yesterday, and the games were on TV. So yeah,
right.
Junior college baseball championship. So got a chance to watch him. And now he's headed up to Wilmer, Minnesota, to play in a wood bat league in Minnesota this summer. So.
Oh really?
Yeah. So headed up to Minnesota. He said, my cousin Tom said, do you think we're going to go up there for a couple weeks? Do you think we'll like it? I said, you'll love it. Small town Minnesota, man. It's awesome.
It's a good time, man.
Yeah. Small town people. You'll see these beautiful churches that are 100 or so years old, maybe 200 in some communities where people, you know, came to farm, and the people are just awesome. A small town America, man.
Right.
It's good. So looking forward to that. So they're headed up there this weekend. And then what else are you? I went down, like I said, I went down yesterday. You know, my 100 Gold Star families, Vietnam era, Gold Star families were there. That was awesome.
Where?
At the dedication for the
the 5th Marine Corps.
Yeah, and then just meeting guys. I was standing next to a guy from Bravo 15, And I said, what company were you in? He said, Bravo. I said, Bravo, shit, man. And he says, he's in his 70s. He looks at me and goes, what company were you in? I said, Charlie Company, the Baller Company. He said, nah, man, Bravo Company. B, you know what that B stands for? I said, what? He said, Baller. I said, so, I mean, you don't know these guys from Adam, right? But they still talk shit. And he lives in South, born and raised in Texas, lives in South Carolina, came out specifically for this dedication because of the names of his buddies, that are on that wall. So pretty.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cooler than shit. And so you had a ton of Vietnam veterans there. And then you had a ton of OIF, OEF veterans there. And it was awesome. It just, you know, being at a tribal event, right? And then Eric Smith, there.
Speaking.
Was he a
guest speaker?
Yeah, you know, he's plain spoken Texas guy.
Yeah, sir, he is.
No, he's funny. He's funny. And, you know, didn't speak too long. And, but it didn't matter. His words were, especially to the Gold Star families. I mean, and you think that those families probably had never been embraced by the Marine Corps, right? 50 years ago. We didn't do it like that. And so that was probably the coolest part was when he had them, when he recognized them and the place stood up and clapped for I don't know how many minutes, but it was a long time. And so it was cool. It was cool.
That is cool, man.
Yeah. But Mateo looked great. The Marines had probably been working on that for 2 weeks.
So they had a parade?
No, but they, you know, there was a ton of Marines out there supporting the event from,
in blues? Or deltas or something.
No, the traffic cops were doing traffic. Were in utilities. Anybody who was on duty was in what would it be? Blue Charlies, you know, blue trouser pants and your khaki shirt.
Blue deltas. Those are deltas with the short sleeves.
Yeah, deltas, right?
Or long sleeves.
Short.
Yeah, deltas. Blue. There's no. Yeah.
What is your blue trousers with your long sleeve shirt? What's that?
Blue Bravos.
Those are blue Brahmas. Okay. So, yeah.
With
so,
a tie? Yeah.
So, but I've been told by Patrick that the officer of the day, a buddy of his, was going to be in his dress blue alphas. I said, oh, I got to go see that.
Someone is in trouble.
So I went and I stuck my head in, and he was in deltas. And I said, what's going on? Aren't you supposed to be in alphas? He said they changed it a couple days ago. I was like, damn, the only reason I came all the way over here to the 3-5 CP was to see your ass in alphas. He said,
see somebody.
I was so happy when they changed it.
Well, that's kind of bullshit, man. Well, what? No, that's kind of, someone needed to be in blue alphas, man.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, with white trousers. That's sharp, though.
That is. No,
bitch about it.
It's a great looking uniform. It's a great looking uniform.
Yeah, you're in your blue alphas with white trousers and you walk in. Women automatically gasp.
Yeah, it is.
Even when they're with their significant other, they're like, oh.
And he looks over and he says,
and what their mind is thinking is, what life could have been like. That's the first thought that goes through their head. I wonder what my life would have been like if I had just been married to a Marine.
Prince Charming.
Yeah. Well, not all of us are Prince Charming.
They don't know that, though. That's the grand assumption.
True.
That's the grand assumption.
Yeah.
Prince Charming.
But they do that. Their breath goes away.
Yeah.
And that when their breath goes away and they're taking a deep breath, in their mind, subconsciously, they are thinking what life would have been like only if. But they never say that out loud. I mean, who's going to say that, right?
No.
You're looking at her. Oh, that Marine over there. I was just wondering what it'd like if I would have married him instead of you.
Probably horrible. You've heard about those guys. They clean up.
Those Marines.
Yeah, they clean up well, but yeah, they're not exactly.
They're just
marrying.
They're men 24/7. They never. You don't want a man that's a 24/7 man, do you? And she's looking at you the whole time like, yeah. Well.
Of course. Of course not. I have you. Then she salvages.
Yeah.
It.
I settled for third best.
Yeah. I love you, honey, and then squeezes your hand. And then like, and then you see her head, then you see her head continuing to follow whoever's in that uniform. Hey, eyeballs, snap. The, yeah, it is. It is. I'll tell you what. There's nobody.
It's a curse that we all have to
live with. It's nobody does ceremonies or uniforms like the Marine Corps. Nobody. I don't care. Anybody on the planet.
Right.
We go crazy for it. The, here's an email. Mac, ask the gunner if he saw the president's tweet.
The president's who?
The president's tweet.
Which one? I mean, shit, he tweets all the time.
The Happy Memorial Day tweet.
Oh, yes, and yes, yes, yes.
So I was telling somebody.
Oh,
my daughter shows it. My daughter shows it to me, and the first thing I think is. That's not real. Okay, somebody did this. And
then, yeah, and then, I thought same thing.
And I'd look, and it says, at real Donald Trump. And I'm like, damn it. I'm like, Kelly.
This is one of those moments that he should have went to Mattis or Kelly and said, hey, what do you think, before I hit send?
Well, Kelly, I mean, come on. Exercise the six-step in troop leading, man. Supervise the guy. This is on Kelly.
Well, you can't supervise someone who's
unsupervisable?
Yeah, run around like a madman when it comes to
So my daughter shows it to me, and I look, and I said, you know, I said Mike was on the other day, just before he came on, he was watching the president give a speech.
Oh, cringing.
he just missed, you know when Maxwell Smart used to say missed it by that much? That's the president, man. And you can only imagine when he makes those calls to families, right? And he's trying to do the right thing, but it's just not his gig, man. He's just not that guy. So, yeah. Yeah. But right. I have to tell you, I found solace in our conversation about, look, Memorial Day isn't for us. It's for them. We're in the support mode. We educate on Memorial Day. They're stupid. Not stupid. They're ignorant. They just don't know. And they say stupid shit. And so, and then I went to another thing you said is it's your civic obligation to have short conversations with stupid people. And then, once you realize.
I said that?
You said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Last week. All right. And you said it's your civic responsibility, but once you establish that they're stupid and they won't come to the light, then stop the conversation. Because then it's stupid.
Right.
Then you're the stupid.
And inform them.
Yes.
And inform them why you're stopping them. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
The conversation.
Okay, so what are you looking for in Home Depot?
Right at this moment, nothing anymore because I found the cartridge in the remote control. So now I'm just wandering around looking at stuff.
What are you, anything you're contemplating on buying at Home Depot?
No, not really. I'm just kind of...
How about some tools? Come on.
I don't need any more freaking tools, man.
You don't need any more?
I got so many tools. I got backup tools. You know when you got too much, and I started having backup tools.
Yeah.
And tertiary tools for my backup tools. So I got backup tools.
He has tertiary tools. Whoa. That's impressive. And, Gunner sent a picture out probably a year ago of his tool bench after he organized it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I got all that.
Montana Man got a little critical with him, though, which.
Well, Montana Man gets jealous sometimes.
No, I agree. He does. He thinks he has, he thinks because, and you know what, and his name's Robbie. His name's Little Robbie. I give him this macho, title, right? And I think it might have gone to it. Now he thinks.
You're going to get an email from him in about 30 seconds.
He thinks he's Montana Man. He's not. He's from Connecticut, for God's sakes. He's from Connecticut.
And he went to a posh school.
He's a rich,
they wear uniforms in high school.
He's a rich kid. From Connecticut.
From Connecticut.
Goes to a private school, Norwich, and now he's prancing around Montana with do you remember the Seinfeld episode where he had the puffy sleeve shirt?
Yeah.
He's wearing a puffy sleeve shirt up in Montana, like with his Wyatt Earp costume and his goatee and cowboy hat. And
right.
We had a little discussion about, like, were you going to a theme party? He's like, no, why? I said, well, why are you in costume? He's like, that's not a costume. That's how I dress. I'm like, oh, shit. What's with the puffy sleeves?
Hey,
and
let him be now. Come on.
What's with the pirate shirt? He didn't like that. So, anyway, I just thought, I thought it was a costume party. So, all right, here's a question. Mac, interested to know what the Gunner ate. He's a foodie. Yeah, did you do any interesting food stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we had chicken breast, skinless, thin slice, so you slice them real thin. Well, I had two things. So that was the healthy thing. Well, then I concocted garlic, lemon, and rosemary, because we planted a big rosemary shrub in our backyard and it's doing wonderful. So we got rosemary all over the place. So we break that off, chop that up a little bit, make a marinade with garlic, lemon, and rosemary. Marinate that, and then grill them with all of that. So you get the nice grill marks, and then always go 90 degree angles, so you get the pattern, the diamond pattern. And then I took vegetables, boiled some corn on the cob. So it's just where it's almost not quite done, but like that al dente where it's still a little firm.
Yeah.
Shave it off the corn cob. So now I got corn kernels. Slice up some zucchini, squash, broccoli, mushrooms, tomatoes, and some others. And then saute those all together with corn to make like a vegetable medley.
Nice.
And then some rice. Yeah. So really healthy meal there. And the other night I made a chicken sal kumboka. So if you take chicken breast, pound it out, where it's really thin, take a thin layer of really good prosciutto, lay that down on chicken breast.
Prosciutto.
Then what I do, nice. Yeah, and then what I do is I take spinach, frozen spinach is the best, just drain the water out, but then take spinach, sprinkle it all inside there. I put some cheese in there, like some good cheese. Go to the deli and get some Mediterranean herb cheese or something. And then shave that inside there, roll it up, put some toothpicks in it. And then you make, I think I had like six of them. And then you put those in a pan with some olive oil, get them nice and brown on each side. And then pour in about half a cup of chicken broth inside there, and then put the cover on and let it simmer for 5-10 minutes until they're done. And they just melt in your mouth. So soft, so tender. They got that prosciutto, so they got that salty, they got the chicken, they got the cheese, whatever flavor, and that spinach, you know, just all melts together. Yeah, it's chicken sal kumboka.
You might need to send me that recipe, man.
Oh, dude, that's a really easy recipe, too. Yeah, you can knock that out.
All right.
You can buy... And like I said, then just take two pieces of plastic, like cling wrap. What I do is I take a chicken breast and I cut it down the middle, so I butterfly it, right? And I take one, so it's half of the breast, put it in there, put the plastic over it, pound it out where it's thin, kind of like you're pounding out veal. And then put that, but I pound it out in the shape of the prosciutto. So the prosciutto comes in that long oval, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
So I put the prosciutto down, and then I put you spinach.
Yeah.
You can use really any kind of vegetable, you know, you can experiment. You can put any kind of filling you want in there. I mean, it's not that bad at all.
The, Mike, who writes the Duffel Blog? You know everybody.
Yeah, I know Paul Zoldra.
Okay, listen to this.
The soldier.
The soldier. The dead headline, dead veterans agree with President Trump, are happy and are happy and proud of low unemployment numbers. On Monday, blah blah blah. Still he talks about the president's tweet. Still, Duffel Blog reporters visited national military cemeteries nationwide and learned that everyone agrees with Trump's message. At a Revolutionary War cemetery in Salem, New York, interred veteran Robert J. Jones, who died during the Battle of Saratoga, was quick to agree with the president. Quote, I was called in a minute to defeat a British force marching from Lake Ontario and to lower the unemployment rate among 21st century black Americans, Jones said. I appreciate what Trump has done, and I would like and I would like how the nation looks today if I had eyes to see, but I'm dead. So please get the microphone out of what's left of my face and refill my grave. But cheers to our trumpet-blowing president who has made America great again. After my blood made it great for the first time in 1777. That's the kind of shit that he writes.
They are some funny ass.
This is from.
Okay,
Hold on. Let me read.
Said he'd come on the program.
Let me read one more. Palmer W. Hayden, a World War II veteran, interred at his gravesite in Arlington National Cemetery, also praised the president on multiple counts. Quote, we black soldiers were often used as rear echelon support troops, but we did our part in Belgium and during the occupation of Germany to make sure black unemployment would be the lowest ever since Donald Trump became president. For the first time since I was mortared down in that damn forest, I'm really proud of my country. Oh, my God. And Ty Edwards.
You know, we'll get
Ty Edwards.
Zoldra said he'd come on the program.
You have to ping him again. And then get me a number and I'll hook him up.
Well, he won't answer you because he doesn't know your
I know. You have to introduce. You have to say, hey, come on. I'm going to give Mac your phone number, blah, 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 and then I'll hook the rest of this up, yada, yada, yada. But this is sent by Ty Edwards, who's an awesome guy, gunshot wound to the head, I want to say, in Afghanistan, and is doing good. So what's up, Ty? Cringeworthy. Cringeworthy. Mike was funny though. If you missed it last week, Mike had just been watching the president speak. Where was he giving his speech?
Annapolis.
And so I call and I said, hey, what's going on? And this is Mike, almost verbatim. I said, what? He goes, I'm watching the
president. Hang on real quick.
All right. Mike says, I'm watching the president speak. And oh my God, dude! And I said, "We've got to talk about it." And he's like, "God, it's just so painful."
Okay.
Anyway, I was relaying your comments about the president's speech before we went on the air last week.
You know, there's sometimes that he can talk, and you're kind of entertained by it. You're like, "Oh, that's good. That's good." When he talks about business and economics and stuff like that, stuff that he knows about,
yeah.
Stuff that he's passionate about,
yeah
he's it's incredible. But shit, man, when that guy starts talking military stuff, I just sit there and like, oh God, you know, at least Obama, who and Clinton, who had draft doctors, had people write their speeches that were military people, and they stuck to them. They didn't stray from the lines. They didn't try to invent their own worlds and then collude, combine things together. It just, he doesn't make any sense to me when he starts talking to the military. And then all so I slammed this lady this weekend on a comment because she said, what a piece of shit. He's never served in the military, but yet what gives him the right to, talk about American servicemen. So my comment was, what a piece of shit you must be because you must have never been a president, so how can you comment on a president? And everybody piled on, we're like, oh, touche! Woo! Woo! Drop the mic! Woo! Yeah! But, you know, it's like, but it just drives me crazy that people, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It cringes me. I get kind of like, oh, God, I wish you wouldn't be saying these things. But, hey, I know the guy cares. You know?
Well, not only, look, I mean, again, like we said, he's passed a budget for the first time in 9 years that allows the military to restore itself. So it's not like, but again, like Mike said, his oratory skills, yikes. And when he goes off the script, double yikes. Okay, so I'm with you. Hey, tell everybody, so I don't know when so it must have been like later Friday or something, and I asked Mike, hey, what are you doing? Like, dude, I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm actually just talking about what a great person Hillary Clinton is and dealing with the fallout. So what were you doing?
Okay, so Hillary Clinton was talking, I think in Australia, because she doesn't do talks in the United States because her reputation isn't very good. I heard, you know, that's what I've heard. I'm not saying that it isn't, but rumor is that Hillary's not well liked in America. So what she does is she's going abroad. Australia loves her because they're a bunch of liberal idiots down there. You know, all of these liberal countries. So they have her down there, and she was talking about like how she didn't get a fair shake because she's a woman. And it was, this is a big hit on all women that she didn't get to be president, and that all women should be ashamed of themselves for being women. You know, it was just horrid. So I was watching the live feed on Facebook, and everybody's blasting Hillary Clinton. This wicked witch, you know, just everything, not one positive thing. So I came back, and so I initially came out on her and said, all of you have Hillary Clinton wrong. She will be justified and adjudicated one day in everybody's eyes to be the true prophet of a democracy within the United States. Oh, my God, dude. You would have thought that, you know, that I got on the radio and was trying to try to get everybody up around to overthrow the government. I mean, bombarded with, you asshole, who do you think you are? And people were then looking at my profile like, you must be you disgusting piece of shit because you served in the military. How can you be, you know, and then only one girl came on, and she wrote on there, she goes, you are the troll of the year, you know. And so I sent her back some. I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, I know what you're up to. I looked at your Facebook profile. There's no way in hell that you think Hillary Clinton, you know, is what you said. She goes, kudos to you. My hat's off to you for being a troll, because I know you're probably getting bombarded right now with all that. And I said, oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe how many messages I'm getting. But she was like, yes, perfection trolling at its best.
Now, years ago, when you were a kid, you would have grabbed a BB gun and gone outside to amuse yourself, right? Now you just hop on.
Yeah.
Now you just hop on Facebook.
Well, yeah, when I was not a kid, I'd go out, you know, yeah, shoot birds with a BB gun until there's no more birds in there. Yeah.
Now? Oh, my God.
Now?
He was
I trans stupid people.
And he was all proud of himself, too. When I talked to him, he goes, dude, you would not believe the gong show I have going on. This is awesome.
Oh, and I just kept it going on and on. Because then I replied to him, like, where are you getting your facts? Some right-wing, you know, website that just quotes. And people, you know, I'll tell you where my facts are coming from. I mean, you could tell they're just going nuts because they start misspelling letters and words. Everything's in capitals because that really means, you know, you're yelling at me. Like, you know. No, I'm typing capitals.
That's funny. All right, what do you got planned the rest of the day?
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing at all?
Yeah. Nothing.
All right. Where are you? What are you getting?
I walked into Chick-fil-A.
Are you a Chick-fil-A guy? My kids love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A. I haven't had Chick-fil-A in a while, so yeah.
Tell you what, Chick-fil-A ice cream, soft ice cream, and milkshakes are, you're not going to find better.
Oh, their lemonade and their chicken?
Yeah.
To die for.
Yeah, they were actually closed on, they're closed Sundays and Memorial Day. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, hold on. Here's an email. Here's an email. You can comment, and I'll let you go. Mac,
okay.
I'm curious. What do you think's going on in the Starbucks racial sensitivity training today? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Starbucks is screwed because let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go through their sensitivity training, and the next time something happens, and it will, because they only got about 9 million stores all over the place,
right.
Then it's going to be an even bigger deal. What happened?
Right.
Because the Marine Corps does this shit, right? It was like the Marines United thing and all that, all the fallout from that. And then, like.
Hey, you're going to have to go in a second because I'm going to have to.
Why? What are you doing?
I got to order.
What are you going to order?
Food.
I know, but what are you going to order from the menu?
I don't know. You're talking to me. I can't read the sign and talk.
Yes, you can. You know what you're going to get. Are you going to get like nuggets or are you going to get a meal?
No, probably nuggets.
Nuggets? What kind of sauce do you like? Do you like the honey?
Barbecue? I don't like any. No, I don't like any of them.
None?
Well, no, I like their regular sauce.
Yeah. I'm with you. I like that. That's pretty good. All right. Well, look, enjoy your lunch.
Okay.
All right. See you, Mike.
Go ahead. I'm still on the phone. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead what?
All right. So they have a lemonade shake, I think it is. Or what is that? Frosted Sunrise.
I would get that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. He's in line at Chick-fil-A. Email. I took the boy to the U.S. Air Force Museum at Wright-Patterson, as I have lived here for 11 years, and it was time to get that X, especially now that the Memphis Belle exhibit is open. Wow. I didn't even know there was a Memphis Belle that traveled around the country. After seeing everything on the inside, I made my way around all of the granite memorials out on the yard. Really surprised that whoever is in charge didn't seem to think Memorial Day weekend was a good reason to mow the grass. Looked like it was at least 3 weeks worth of growth, long enough for the grass to grow seeds. I was embarrassed for them. Attended the parade ceremony here in Marysville, population 22,000. That's Marysville, Ohio. Every Memorial Day, they have a wreath-laying ceremony to commemorate the fallen from each war. I noticed that the Vietnam vet representative was USMC 1st Battalion 26th Marines caisson veteran, but I didn't catch the company. I tried to find him after the ceremony, but he was gone by the time I got over there. Damn it! Later on in the evening, I manned a 03 Springfield in the honor guard for a tiny VFW post that has accepted me, that has adopted me. We did two short ceremonies at two small cemeteries in a couple of small communities outside of Marysville. They were concerned that the post of another nearby community had recently dissolved and no one would be doing a ceremony at their cemetery. These Vietnam guys are getting a little long in the tooth, and we need some new blood to fill the ranks. Who knows? Maybe the VFW and the Legion can be something more than a bar where seniors play video poker. You know, Ohio man's got a good point. And I beat this horse from time to time, but hey, it's our responsibility to join those organizations. So whether it's the Marine Detachment, whether the Marine Corps League Detachment that's near you, whether it's the VFW or the Legion. And I'll tell you what, if you live in small town America, and I have, they are pretty protective of their Memorial Day celebrations. They've been going on for a long time, and people go to them, and they bring their kids to them, and they don't want to see them go away. And so it's pretty interesting when you go to them for the first time, and, you know, you see farmers and their families, and they show up. And I remember I went in 2005 after I came home from Iraq to speak at one. I was supposed to meet up with a Marine by the name of Riley Pape, He had been killed while on terminal leave. He is a veteran of Afghanistan, of Iraq, and he's a no-shit American war hero and was killed on a motorcycle. And I was there, so we go to the funeral. Go to the funeral. We go to the cemetery for the ceremony. Had nothing to do with this funeral. For Memorial Day. And there was a little kid that was just staring at me, you know, in my dress blues. And I saw him. And, you know, he reminded me of what I must have been like as a little kid. Because I could not take my eyes off guys in uniform, you know, for whatever reason I was fascinated by him. And so, you know, you look at a little kid and you see yourself. And so I went over and I introduced myself to him. And I walked over and I said, hey, what's your name? And I think his name was William. He said, my name's William. And I stuck my hand out. I said, nice to meet you, William. He said, thank you. And so I just started talking to him. How old are you? Where do you go to school and whatnot? And his mom was standing there behind him. And he said, he said, I like your uniform. And I started laughing, and I said, it's a cool uniform. And so I said, and then he said, I like your camouflage uniforms, too. And I said, which ones? I said, do you know which ones we wear? And he said, yep. I said, how about if I sent you a hat? And so I sent it to him, and his mom sent me a picture of him asleep with the hat on. It was our Bush cover. It's kind of a cool cover. And our digital tan version. And we used to wear it. His mom said, I cannot get that thing off his head. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But cool story. All right, this program repeats itself momentarily. My thanks to Duffy White and Tim Lynch, both retired Marines, friends of mine, for coming on and talking about the 9-man rifle squad. It's actually 12-person rifle squad and their thoughts and their concerns about it. So it'll be interesting. We'll continue to talk about that. So don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio continues on a Tuesday. Welcome back. Out.